have vampires in the watch. Very good on night duty, sir, and aerial surveillance. And always useful if you want to stake out somewhere. Yes, sir? Vimes watched the feeble pun go right through Carrot's head without triggering his brain. He turned back to the paper. Pensions for widows, I see. Yes, sir. Reopening the old watch houses. That's what he says, sir. Vimes read on. We consider particularly that this enlarged watch will need an experienced man in charge who is held in esteem by all parts of society, and we are convinced that you should fulfil this role. You will therefore take up your duties immediately as commander of the Ankh-Morpork City Watch. This post traditionally carries with it the ranky of knight, which we are minded to resurrect on this one occasion. Hoping this finds you in good health, yours faithfully, Havelock, Veterinary, Patrician. Vimes read it again. He drummed his fingers on the table. There was no doubt that the signature was genuine, but... Captain Carrot?
Sir!
Carrot stared straight ahead of him with the glistening air of one busting with duty and efficiency and an absolute resolve to duck and dodge any direct questions put to him. Vimes picked up the paper again and put it down, picked it up, and then passed it over to Sybil.
"My word," she said. "A knighthood! Not a moment too soon, either!"
"Oh, no, not me. You know what I think about the so-called aristocrats in this city, apart from you, Sybil, of course.
Perhaps it's about time the general stock was improved, then," said Lady Ramkin.
"His lordship did say," said Carrot, "that no part of the package was negotiable, sir. I mean, it's all or nothing, if you understand me."
"All?"
"Yes, sir."
"Or nothing?"
"Yes, sir." Vimes drummed his fingers on the table.
"You've won, haven't you?" he said. "You've won."
"Sir? Don't understand, sir," said Carrot, radiating honest ignorance. There was another dangerous silence.
"But of course," said Vimes, "there's no possible way I could oversee this sort of thing."
"What do you mean, sir?" said Carrot. Vimes pulled the candelabra towards him and thumped the paper with a finger.
"Well, look what it says here. I mean, opening those old watch houses, on the gates. What's the point in that? Right out there on the edge."
"Oh, I'm sure matters of organisational detail can be changed, sir," said Carrot.
"Keep a general gate guard, yes, but if you're going to have any kind of finger on the pulse of... Look, you'd need one along Elm Street somewhere, close to the Shades... and the docks, and another one halfway up Short Street, and maybe a smaller one in Kingsway. Somewhere up there, anyway. You've got to think about population centres. How many men based per watch house?"
"I thought 10, sir, allowing for shifts."
"Nah, can't do that. Use 6 at most. A corporal, say, and one other per shift. The rest you'll move around on a monthly rota. You want to keep everyone on their toes, yes? And that way everyone gets to walk every street. That's very important. And, I wish I had a map here. Oh, thank you, dear. Right, now, see here. You've got a strength of 56 nominal, okay? But you're taking over day watch, too. Plus, you've got to allow for days off. 2 grandmother's funerals per year per man. Gods know how your undead'll sort that one out. Maybe they get time off to go to their own funerals. Then there's sickness and so on. So, we want 4 shifts staggered around the city. Got a light? Thanks. We don't want the whole guard changing shift at once. On the other hand, you've got to allow each watch house officer a certain amount of initiative. But we should maintain a special squad in Pseudopolis Yard for emergencies. Look, give me that pencil. Now, give me the notebook. Right. Cigar smoke filled the room. The little presentation watch played every quarter of an hour, entirely unheeded. Lady Sybil smiled and shut the door behind her and went to feed the dragons.
Dearest Mum and Dad,
well, here is amazing news, for I am now captain. It has been a very busy and varied week all round, as I shall now recount.
And only one thing more. There was a large house in one of the nicer areas of Ankh, with a spacious garden, with a children's treehouse in it, and quite probably a warm spot by the fire, and a window, breaking. Gaspode landed on the lawn and ran like hell towards the fence. Flower-scented bubbles streamed out of his coat. He was wearing a ribbon with a bow on it and carrying in his mouth a bowl labelled Mr. Huggy. He dug his way frantically under the fence and squirmed into the road. A fresh pile of horse droppings took care of the floral smell, and 5 minutes of scratching removed the bow.
"'Not a bloody flea left,' he moaned, dropping the bowl. "'And I nearly had the complete set. "'Whew! Well, I'm out of that.
"'Ugh!' Gaspode brightened up. It was Tuesday. That meant steak and suspicious organs pie at the Thieves' Guild. And the head cook there was known to be susceptible to a thumping tail and a penetrating stare. And holding an empty bowl in your mouth and looking pathetic was a sure-fire winner, if Gaspode was any judge. It shouldn't take too long to claw off Mr. Huggy. Perhaps this wasn't the way it ought to be, but it was the way it was. On the whole, he reflected, it could have been a lot worse.
That is the end of Men at Arms by Terry Pratchett, and it was read by Nigel Planer.